This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. We are brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasting. Go Loud is, for the time being, the home of your champions. Ben, we're doing something a little bit different this week. It is currently 8:50 on Monday evening. We weren't lucky enough to have to travel to the small village in Munster. We've had to settle for watching the Reds on the telly, and we are fresh from seeing the 2-1 win. How are you feeling?
Great. How could you not be great? Hello, Duty. How are you? Just the usual lines out of the way. But yeah, fucking brilliant.
Oh, man, I'm so happy. I'm so, so happy.
How could you not be? Like, it's... I mean, it's a 6-point return across 2 games. Massively needed. It's coming at the right time. If there's one thing this group are well used to, is when it comes to crunch time, getting stuff over the line. So yeah, look, I think you can be incredibly pleased with both results.
Do you know, in my excitement over this victory tonight, I forgot about Friday. We'll get to Friday in a minute. Just probably hot takes on this win. Going ahead when we did, I think you're kind of looking at it going, Grant, we'll be all right here. I felt like the Cork goal was coming.
Yeah, we kind of rolled our luck at times. They're always a threat from set pieces. Like, they're easy to lose. They have that absolute man mountain at the back in Kelleher. So, like, when he gets up, it's very hard to fall to Sean Maguire. And, look, if we unfortunately had to watch it at home, so all we could hear is the praise for Sean Maguire. Oh, that's a centre forward's goal. Even after... The game
we'll
has finished.
Goons,
the game
don't
has
worry.
Finished. You've just been relegated. Like, yeah, but Shawnee's goal was great.
Oh, the comedy.
Was it, yeah? So well, you're awesome. Relegated. Goodbye. Good luck.
Oh, I love getting punched. That fucking great. I was in the sitting room watching it, so I had it on the telly. So my long-suffering partner was watching it with me, and she just can't deal with... I think it's... might be a touch of the Alan Smiths about it. I think it's the Colchi. The Colchi alarm goes off, and there's a problem, but... Oh, those two boys were awful, but we'll get to them later on, for obvious reasons. I think the one we can see is just... as you say, that lad Kelleher just causes a bit of carnage. But,
are you in a packet of crisps here?
Am I eating a pack of crisps?
It sounds like you're either in a wind tunnel or eating a pack of crisps.
Is it still like that now?
You're grand. You've sorted it.
A second ago. Right, here's my setup at the moment, Ben. My laptop is resting on the headrest from a beanbag. And I have the microphone on my lap resting on a pillow. And the laptop started to slide off the beanbag.
I tell you what. Talk about immediate reaction. This man hasn't moved.
No, I actually haven't really. No, I haven't. What was I saying there? Yeah.
Your man, Keller, big man.
Like, difficult to stop him winning the first one.
I mean,
it's probably Jack Henry Francis, bit of sleepy time.
But what are you supposed to do when you're fucking Big Daddy Cool Diesel jumping the ball? Like,
he's a big boy. He is a big, big unit. Yeah, look, it's another epoxy goal, really.
It's the response that I'm pleased with, though. Like, there's points even this season where you can see that poxy goal, and you just, the response hasn't been there at times. You'll probably agree with that.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's based off the Rovers game and how we started this one. But when the goal went in, I didn't panic. I was like, it's grand. We'll get one here.
Oh, see, I was the opposite. I panicked big time when we conceded. And I tell you why, because the immediate reaction after the goal, I didn't think was good. We got a free kick a minute or two after they equalised from, in fairness, it's one of those poxy kind of central but far out, so it's hard to kind of put a decent ball into the box. I think it was Kerr kind of stuck an arrowed kind of ball straight into the box, and there was just nobody competed. Nobody even picked up the second ball, and I was kind of going, oh, shit. Are we kind of... like, are we shell-shocked here? Are we a little bit goosed, maybe? But, like...
I just thought it was coming. You just kind of have to... I think what I thought was, when we do concede, I'm like, these lads are going to go at it heavy for a minute or two. If we just survive that and kind of impose what we can do on the game, I think we'll get another goal here. And look, Kerr, I don't know when the statue is coming. I don't know where we're going to put the statue. But my God, that man is a good footballer.
Oh, man, he was everywhere. The pass for Dickie's goal. Oh, like the weight on it was just
perfect. Sorry, but and as well as that, excellent composure from Dickie. Like, you can...
oh, the finish was insane.
Like, he kind of turns his body waiting for it. He gets it and he can just, like, he just hits it. It's just perfectly done. From the weight of the pass, the control of the ball, everything. Just picture perfect goal.
I wouldn't mind. I didn't even get to see it live. I missed the first couple of minutes trying to get the kids to bed. So, the lesson there is don't have kids. But, oh, God, I hope this didn't hear that one. it's an unbelievable finish. The pass was perfection. Kerr has... I think, for me, he ended up a victim of his high standards, I think. Because when he started for us, when he originally signed, he was unplayable. He was unbelievable. Like, a good 9 out of 10 every week. And then I think he kind of... wouldn't say he dropped off. He went to, what, like 7 out of 10, maybe? So it felt like a bit of a drop-off. The last couple of weeks, he's just been... he's everywhere. Yeah. He can do everything. He's a typical, like, box-to-box. Can do a bit of everything. He can pass so well. He can...
it's a serious engine back on the man as well.
Ah, he was still closing. Like, he was still doing 30-yard doggies to close down in stoppage time there. Mental stuff. Like, just...
and I said this to you after Friday. We got very, very giddy, obviously, with the result. But I, in a minute of maybe composing ourselves, I turned to you. I was like, fuck me, Jack Henry Francis.
Ah. Again, I like, if you're pointing at somebody for the goal we concede, unfortunately, it's probably him. You just can't lose Johnny Maguire in the 6-yard box like that. But he just doesn't lose the ball. It's like he has, like, the ball on a leash, and he just is kind of, he's always, even when he looks like he's lost control, has just a habit of dragging it back. And
but if you just watch him, like, I don't know how the man doesn't have whiplash, because he's constantly scanning every area of the pitch. Like, when he receives the ball, he can receive it with 4 people around him, and he's going to show you a clean pair of heels. Like, he's really, really impressed me since coming in.
He has. He's been amazing. And again, similar, can kind of do everything. Like, yeah. I thought he was just one of these, like a Luka Modric type. You know, he'll just sit there, get on the ball, move it around. He's very, very good at winning possession back as well. Not something I...
he's a real injection of energy, I would say, at the right point in the season. Like, obviously, yeah, people were frustrated when he comes in. You know, experience in the league. People knew the quality of player he is, the quality he possesses. And you want to see that straight away. Unfortunately, he does come in with that knock he's spoken about. He looks near 100%, because I don't know if there could be any more to give, because that man has just been sensational for the last 2 weeks. And even when we saw him make the cameo in Derry, like, the way he was spraying the ball across the pitch, you're like, enough to get anyone off their seats. He's one of those kind of midfielders.
He is. You kind of... every time he gets the ball, there's this excitement around him. I feel that, like, you just kind of don't know what he's going to do. Starting 11 wise, you couldn't say there's surprises. You know, there's always changes on a Monday game after a Friday, especially the type of game the Rovers game was. But, like, John Martin comes in, Dickie comes in, Lewis Temple obviously in from the start to replace Paddy Barrett. Coyler in as well. Coyler was in for Cam, I think, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah.
You seen the team sheet? Surprised at all, any of the lads that were given the nod?
No, like, I think it's...
the Temple one, I think, is a straightforward, you know.
Yeah. But I think the manager has spoken about this a lot recently, especially like he's a real emphasis on this. It's a squad game and how everyone has a role to play, and it's important that people realise that. And when your name is called and you do get a chance to wear that jersey to show something, like you kind of want to be putting it in any kind of doubt, any kind of, oh, maybe I should be in every week, maybe I should be in next week. It's important. Like we say it all the time, competition is the best coach. And I think that's just, that was it. Like it's tight turnaround. You're going to see some changes. I think that's really all it was.
Lewis Temple, really, really good. Just did his defending. Like, that's a difficult player, Sean Maguire. Now, Cork do have a touch of the, let's get this up to him and see if he can do something about it. I thought Lewis was really good. He just has that little knack. We've seen it in Inchicore, the Virgin game, when he got man of the match. Just defends very well. Yeah,
he just looks like
he's not going to set the world alight, you know, maybe with his passing range or that the way Pat might, but comes to defend.
I don't know if you'll see it, but it just looks like he's not going to get to something. And you're like, oh no, and he just kind of picks it out and just deals with it. Like, he does a lot of the defensive work. It makes it look easy, some of the difficult stuff.
Yeah, 100%. And he also nearly broke his back winning a header right at the end. He just went completely splat on the floor. I was surprised he didn't end up injured from that one. But Lewis is a funny one. Like, difficult. Like, we talked about this coming home from the Rovers game on Friday, Ben. Lewis has had a mad kind of month and a bit, maybe.
Yeah.
He obviously didn't make the Conference League squad originally. And then there was an awful lot of hullabaloo about that. And, you know, was he that far out of favour and so on and so on. Then he finds himself back in because obviously Sam gets injured. Then Pat gets sent off on Friday, so he gets thrown in after not seeing a whole lot of game time recently, thrown in against probably the best team in the country, and was just solid. Like, didn't look out of place, didn't put a foot wrong when he came on. This feels like it could potentially have been a big few weeks in Lewis Temple's Shell career. Do you think, or am I being a bit dramatic?
No, I think it can be, but again, I think opportunity is what you make of it, and he's been afforded a wonderful opportunity, and I'm not saying that he's not earned it, he's absolutely earned it, but it's about what he goes on and does with that now, because as you said, it looked as if there was a bit of, I don't know, it's not going to be an easy selection to make, bodies have come in over the summer, so he initially didn't make the squad, he's in it now, so now it's important to prove himself. He acquitted himself really well when he did come in on Friday, and bear in mind a really difficult scenario. Like, he's coming in cold as a defender against, as you said, the best attack in the country. Literally, the most goals. So it's never going to be an easy task. And again, he's done really well, but opportunity is just what you make of it. So it's important that he makes something of that now.
And he came into that Rovers game. It was very chaotic the way he kind of came on. Like, in the ideal scenario, say, like, if like that packet sent off and the change is kind of ready to go nearly by the time, like, the ref has put the red card away. Didn't happen that way on Friday. It was just a bit chaotic. There was obviously a bit of argument afterwards about whether it was a red or not, and the two tunnels or the two dugouts didn't get into it, but there was a kind of back and forward, and then Pat kind of took his time making his way off. And then they didn't allow the sub straight away, and then it was just a bit chaotic. And I'd say that's difficult when you're standing there ready to go and you haven't got the nod yet. I'd say there's an awful lot going through your mind. So I think for Lewis to stay as calm as he did, come on and do the business, really, and like sealing a huge result. And that obviously rolled into tonight, where under no circumstances was it our best performance of the season, but we said this last week, I can't see there being a particularly good game between now and, geez, we've only got, what, three left? Yeah, Sligo home, Bowes away, Pats at home. So it's just about getting the job done and get the job done tonight. We did. Nice to see Tyreek back as well.
Yeah. Again, it's just, as I said, it's big, big bodies to get back at this point in the season. Like, when you are going to be pushing for those results, you do have your European games coming up. Like, a player the caliber of Tyreek, like, we've raved about Chuck and how good he's been, but I think you forget with the injury how good Tyreek is. Probably one of the best left folds in the country on his day, easily.
What are we saying about the low socks?
I back it, yeah.
The Francesco Totti looked
low good. Socks, long sleeve shirt, whip it into the box. Bellissimo.
Yeah, enjoyed that. Dickie's another one, Ben. Just think he offers us something very, very different. Just see the pace, the timing of his run for the goal, and the finish was just fucking ridiculous. Again, I just find myself feeling very happy for Dickie. Like, he's had obviously his injury issues and stuff like that, but he's had big moments for us this year. He's had big passages of play, and maybe he hasn't obviously scored or maybe got the numbers he would have liked to have gotten, but
to be fair, he's been excellent when he's called upon. He's a real injection of energy when he does come on, because he provides something that is quite unique, I'd say, in the league, in terms of he's quite direct, but he's very, very fast. He's that good mix of kind of a street footballer as well. You never really know what he'll do. He'll beat his man, he'll get the cross in. I think he's really, really good for us when he does come on. And as you've said, he has impacted games.
Let's get back to Friday, to the Rovers game. We mentioned a couple of times already. Paddy Barrett's sending off. Yay or nay for you?
That's no for me. I can see why it was given. I do. I can see.
But if you can see why it was given, does that not tell you that it should have been given?
No, because the ref was shit the whole game.
He was toxic.
He
was horrifically bad.
When I say I can see why it was given, I don't mean I can see the foul. I can see why he gave it, is what I'm saying. I don't know. It didn't look that bad in real time. All the replays, watched a lot. Again, it looked like a yellow to me, a definite yellow. But I don't know about red.
You're leaning on strong yellow, are you?
Yeah, I just don't think it's a straight red.
I do think it's reckless. And I know this argument was made on Living Virgin about, can he be out of control if he was able to, he doesn't pull out a tackle by any means, but he kind of doesn't go in studs up or anything like that. But I don't know, I'd be looking at it, I don't know whether this is with a coaching hat on, I'm looking at it going, why do that? Why even give the ref the opportunity, especially when you know he's been septic for the whole game? I'll say, I'm not one for referee bashing, but he was a bag of shite.
He was terrible.
Yeah, he just, and look, he may have just had one of those games.
But I'm probably going to jinx us here, but that hasn't happened to us very often this season, where you look at a refereeing performance and you can be overly, overly critical. There's been times where referees got 1, 2, 3 decisions wrong, but there hasn't been many times this season where we've had to dedicate time to referee bashing. But I just think didn't control the occasion, didn't control the game, missed a lot of blatant stuff.
And I'd caveat that by saying that's for both teams. He gave us some decisions that I was going, Jesus, where is he after pulling that one from?
Well, sometimes where it's almost like he was counting in his head. You know when you're doing a multiple choice quiz in school and you're I said B for the last 3 ones, so I'm going to say A now. That's what it reeked of. It's like, ah, giving Rovers 3-3s. Go on, you can have this one.
Right, so look, I have, because I'm a loser, I have the laws for serious foul play in front of me, right? So, a tackle or challenge that endangers the safety of an opponent or uses excessive force or brutality must be sanctioned as serious foul play and therefore red card. Any player who lunges at an opponent in challenging for the ball from the front, from the side, or from behind using one or both legs with excessive force or endangers the safety of an opponent is guilty of serious foul play. So, I'll break that down for you. Did that tackle endanger the safety of an opponent?
Nah, he was fine. Got straight back up. Was grand. Rub a bit of dirt on it. I used to have a coach that used to say that. Rub a bit of dirt on it, it'd be grand.
Did he use excessive force?
Pat's a big man. That's just regular force for him.
It was like one of those fucking... It was like a rocket launcher. Like a rocket fresh out of the... And just like a fucking missile. Just... He was so fast. He was moving so quickly. And did he lunge at the opponent?
A little bit of a lunge, yeah.
Yeah, see, I think he's 2 out of 3 on those ones. I don't think you could say he endangers the safety. Now, look, I think if the Rovers lad has his boot in the ground, there's a problem there, but he didn't, so you can't, like, you have to rule that one out. It was probably a bit of excessive force, and he probably did lunge a little bit, I would have thought. So, look, that happens. It's, you know, it's not... Not the first red we've had, sure it's not. Surely not. Is it?
I don't know.
There's people shouting at the... No, it should be a 2 cent off against Bowles. Coyler and Kew. Actually, yeah, Ali Kew with another yellow for diving. Where are we on that one?
I prefer not to speak.
What I would say is, I will go to the grave and saying, just because it's not a foul doesn't mean it's a dive.
Yeah, I mean...
Now, I didn't really see Ali's one very well on Friday, to be totally honest with you. But, yeah, is he in the Shane Farrell thing now, where you just kind of... You presume more often than not that he has dived?
Yeah, I think it's more reputation rather than a case-by-case basis. I think if you're just unsure, if there's any bit of... Unless it's a stonewall, I don't think it's going to be given now.
How good did we look in passages on Friday? We just looked... I turned around to you still a couple of times and went, Jesus Christ, why? That was unbelievable. There was one particular passage. Was it JJ played a ball into Evan Caffrey and... Caffrey kind of dropped it off for Chuck, who just took an unbelievable first touch, outrageous first touch, and then skimmed on across the goal, and we just couldn't get body on the end of it. Even the goal, like, Chuck was great for the goal. Brilliant. He just looked so, so good on Friday. We're like, we're purring at times, aren't we?
Yeah, I think... We just, I said it to you again, you turned to me, I turned to you, and I was like, this is the best we played. Like this, it just, there was some point in that game where it went from one pass to another, and it just went, oh my God.
Yeah, oh God. Yeah. And you're just hoping we score from it because, like, it could be a viral job. You know, if you do score from it, because some of the stuff we played was just outrageous. And sorry, I'm distracted here. I'm just looking at the video that's just gone up Michelle's social media of Jack Henry Francis's goal. And there, Ben, you have to go and look at this. You have to.
Oh dear.
It's kind of from the point of view of the UAN. So.
Oh dear.
Obviously, Kerr squares it to Jack, who slots it, and he wheels away behind the goal. And there's a ball boy standing there with his hands on his head. Oh, it's poetic. And Jack just kind of is running with his arms out, pulls his arms in so he doesn't slap the kid in the head. Oh, that's a beautiful video. Oh, that's a really, really beautiful video. Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked here. I'm watching it again, but it's Ben, please pull it up.
Oh, I'm looking at it.
Have you got it?
It's pretty funny, to be fair. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Oh, that's a great
that's
video.
Good stuff.
When we conceded tonight, I did kind of, you know, scrambled into the league table, and I was going, right, all right, relax. This isn't the end of the world. We're still looking quite good, like, no real hassle. But we're getting the winner. We've now put pressure on, like, not only Drogheda, but it's real pressure on Balls.
Yeah, like, do they have to go to Galway next? Is that their next?
Yeah, so they have to go to Galway. They play Bowls, or they play Pats at home. They obviously play at home to us, and then they go to Drogheda. That's a dodgy one.
That's a mixed bag of, like, Galway need to start picking up results. Like, Galway need to win their next game.
100%. Like, they're the type of blood and guts kind of team that I think will probably thrive in that backs against the wall type arena. So, yeah, no, I didn't. Now, look, Sligo are the same. You know, like, yeah. Sligo are still right in it. I know they picked up some good results recently, but right in it as well. There's no easy games. Like, it doesn't matter who you're playing, like, especially there for Cork. That was awkward purely because they wouldn't have wanted to get relegated. At home, certainly, but, and they definitely wouldn't want to be relegated against us, which makes it all the more hilarious. And I'll lord it over Cork shortly, don't worry. But is, like, when you just look at that league table now in isolation, is it advantage Reds for third spot?
I mean, I've said it for a few weeks now. I think it's the most important thing now is just taking each game as it comes. I know it's so cliche, but, like, the most important game of our season is the next one. And
yeah, it's a great cliche.
But, like, is there an advantage? Yeah. But it's only going to be an advantage if we use it. So I think that's the key thing. Like, Bowes, obviously, I think they will have lost their last match. They're going to need to get 3 points to keep the pressure on. We've won our last three, haven't we?
We won
our last three league games. I think we've won, lost in our last five. Like, if there's a time to start picking up points, we've picked a good time.
And I want to kind of address this because I think it's very important. Everyone rushed all the time to give credit to Damien Duff, deserved credit, absolutely, for, you know, results we picked up. I don't know if Joey O'Brien is getting the credit he should get. Because to be picking up the results we're picking up, grinding out, you know, just staying alive, finding a way, it's just such a testament to him and the staff, I think, that they've managed to just keep a lid on everything. I'd say we've been quite consistent since Joey came in, and it's fair to say at this stage, it feels like the players are playing with less pressure. And that's not a slight on the old manager whatsoever. I think that's just the way he is, but they're thriving, I think, off this more, not relaxed approach, definitely wouldn't say relaxed approach at all, but it's just different. Was it like the perfect change at the perfect time?
I think in years to come, it'll definitely be one you can look at. Now, I think everything is just, although it's not fresh, it's still extremely fresh. To be fair to Joe and the staff, they've done absolutely incredible work. Like, you to come in and not only steady the ship, but to pick up the points they do, pick up the results they do, like getting to Europe, massive group stage, league phase, whatever you want to call it now, football, like, you're aiming for European football next year, that's massive. It's huge for the club, huge for the fans, it's so, so important. So I think it's a testament to the work they've done, work they put in, but as well as the work the players have put in. Like, I will say, look, you can notice the difference on the pitch. I think there's a little bit of freedom there. I think he's done really well in terms of unlocking, say, a H or an Ali Coote. I think they're two people that people have earmarked as they've stepped up a lot in terms of what they add to the team. So I think that's one thing that's definitely been a difference for me.
Yeah, there hasn't been like a major change in what we're doing.
There's not a seismic shift. He hasn't come in and reinvented the wheel. He's just been really, really consistent, really, really good with the players. It's like, as well as that, like, a lot of credit goes to Davy Mack, Skins, like Lukey coming in doing that role as well, like helping out during the week on match nights. Like, that man wears so many different hats during the week. I don't know how he manages it, but he does. So again, there's a lot of credit to be shared. Like,
we're in a good place, I think, is the important thing. And like,
we're in an amazing place.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you take this league campaign on its own, you'd look at it and say, yeah, like, not a fantastic title defence. But then you have the other part of it where you look and say, if we could have been playing, like, we'd be the champions already if we played the whole season the way we performed on Friday. Like, how many times did we say to each other on Friday, like, we are not far away from Rovers here at all. And no. Look, I know people argue, like, they'd know Lee Grace, they'd know Pico, but even at that, it was, even through midfield, like, we bounced the ball through that midfield so many times and just made them look very, very, very ordinary.
Like, Graham Burke, one of the best players in the league, like, kept quiet, didn't really do much, wasn't up to a whole heap. It got to a point where, like, we made some of their players look incredibly average that Rovers fans were complaining. I saw a lot of complaints online for Nugent, Clark, like, people like, how are these guys?
They're a weird football club, aren't they, Rovers? Like, they were rightly in the mire for a long, long time, like, really in the shit. No grounds, you know, just in the first division. And, like, there's part of me, when you're sitting in that main stand listening to them, you're going, they're like spoiled children sometimes.
Don't talk to me about sitting in that stand listening to them. My God. Tight, yeah. Lads, tight to them.
But, like, you're looking at them going, okay, right, fair enough. You're not going to win it tonight. But you're on the brink of winning, like, getting your league back. And it's just a real grim kind of atmosphere there all the time. The stadium being so open doesn't help. But it's like they're ungrateful or something. I don't know what it is. Just very strange.
So you're saying they need to go through more heartache to appreciate what they have?
Yeah, but, like, they've had a lot of heartbreak. It could be, like, a generation thing, maybe.
Not those people in that ground. Like, no, some of them, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but I'd say there's a few there, like, you would have dealt with the Talca days and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. I think they're a weird football club. I did hear a few people saying that over the course of Friday. Just a bit of a weird club. But anyway, fuck Rovers. Who cares? Speaking of Rovers, Ben, Women's Premier Division campaign came to an end on Saturday. Does that result and the manner of the result
just sums up everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, doesn't it? Refuse to say die, but then ultimately, just in moments.
If you want a summary of the whole season, I hate to say it, it pains me to say it, but that game was essentially it. It's always the nearly. We nearly did it.
Yeah, look, for anyone who hasn't seen it, maybe it was 1-1 after 20 minutes. Rovers went 4-1 up. Gemma Quinn, obviously in her last game for the Reds, brought it back to 4-2 just before half time. And then we got to 4-3, 4-4 with 15 minutes to go. And then Rovers won it in stoppage time. is there big work to be done there in the off season, or is it similar in what we're saying that like, not like we're close, we're not far off, just maybe a little bit of.
I don't think we're far off. I think what, like, we were, I don't want to say the architects of our own demise at times, but we were, like, you talked about the fans' form and how there was big stress on keeping the squad a bit tighter, and that came back to bite us with players leaving, and you don't bring that quality up through, like, you're not, like, it's very hard to replace the caliber of player that we let go, and then you don't bring in that same caliber of player, so you're just automatically putting yourself at a disadvantage. So I think there is a bit of work to be done there, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, look, I suppose watch this space for that. Like, I'm sure there'll be ins and outs and the usual transfer.
Again, like, some of the recruitment was really good. You obviously look at the players you do bring in, like the players you lose through injury, like, yes, incredibly unlucky, but it should be a case of, you know, it should be next one up, start get someone in or do something to kind of keep yourself thereabouts. I think at times we just kind of shot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, I think that sums up.
Is that too overly critical, or is that fair?
No, I think that's fair. I think, like, if you asked anybody involved there, like, it was a case of that. We shot ourselves in the foot maybe one too many times, and in a way that's good. That's a good sign, because it's stuff you're not doing. You know, it's not as if, you know, Athlone are, you know, streets ahead of everyone else in the league or anything like it. It's more of a, right, if we can get our own shop in order, there's a serious title charge coming next year, and I would be confident of that. So hopefully, here's hoping. Just to bring it back to tonight, I am extremely happy we were the team to relegate Cork, Ben.
Yeah, I heard on commentary they said, well, relegated by one of our bigger rivals. Is that entirely true?
That's an era thing. Like, I kind of mid-2000s, the Village were a good team. Like, you're going back to Georgie O'Callaghan, fucking Man Murray, the centre half. Like, they did have a good, Joe Gamble, they had a good team, like, and had a few ding-dongs with them, but a rival, nah. I think they'd consider us a rival because of the Dublin thing. But, Cork, nah.
Like, to be fair, as much criticism as Cork will come under, they really need to sort their shit out, because a team, like, the squad they assembled, what they have there, resources, stadium, everything, it pains me to say it, but they're way too big for the first division.
Yeah, and I it's funny because I think Jared Nash, when he came in for us, like, he kind of was talked, they were going to, like, sack him and all that kind of early doors. He's done okay, actually, to be fair to him. Like, they're not bad. A couple of players there that you're kind of looking at going, jeez, that's not bad. So, I hope they never get promoted again, Ben, to be honest with you. like, yada, yada, yeah, big club. But, like, nah.
I mean, we're going to have to go back to hearing the ding-dong of Dundalk.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, but yeah, at least Dundalk's only like 45 minutes up the road. That's not all the way down to that bleeding kip down there. I'm delighted. You know what? Right, let's do the Richie Winters for this week for me is the Cork commentary duo.
Yeah, it has to be. It has.
They were on the brink of being relegated, and they're going on about Graham Cummins scoring the last ditch winner to win the first division in Tolka. Lads, come on. Seriously.
Dude, one of their lines on commentary, I had to write it down, was, he's dead right to have a shot. It's the only way of scoring. Oh. Full on Michael Owen. Yeah. If you don't shoot, you don't score.
Yeah. Look, I can have sympathy for commentators. It's not easy. It's really, really not.
Also, sorry to interject. His name is Kerr McInroy, not Kerr McElroy.
Yeah, there was a few clangers. Tyreek got called something funny at one stage as well.
Was it Tyreeky or was that Dundalk?
No, that's Dundalk. That's Dundalk. No, we call him Tyler or something, I think. But look, commentating's hard. I can tell you that from experience. it's actually even harder sometimes to be the co-com because you're trying to butt in and like make yourself be heard, and there's not really much to say. But there's no excuse for making a shit point, like making a stupid point. You're on the brink of getting relegated, and you're talking about how, oh, one more, we just need one more now, it'll keep us up. Yeah, for how long, mate? It's just, you've been relegated, you're gone, you're relegated, you're doomed.
They did have a little back and forth, which I quite enjoyed on commentary, which was, we just need to find two goals here, and we're back in this. It's like, well, we need to find one first.
Yeah. So, yeah, my Richie Winter is, and it's not for his commentary, like, that's hard, I know, you can make mistakes, whatever, but just same match, yeah. Trying to lean on a rivalry, it's not a rivalry anymore. I'm probably being a bit of a hypocrite there by getting so much joy out of relegating them. Like, it shouldn't make me that happy, but it made me very
happy. I will say, like, people were like, oh yeah, they weren't, but they were also incredibly biased. The game was over, you've just been relegated, and you're praising Shawny Maguire's goal. I mean, lads, that's really not where you should be thinking.
There was actually another moment where the commentator, and I feel from here, it was just a real dull moment in the game. He was trying to just make a bit of noise, basically. And he asked the co-com. I think the co-com there is Philip Long. I think he's an ex-Cork player from years back. But he says to him, so Philip, like, City on the brink of being relegated. If we win the cup, would this be a successful season?
Oh, I can't remember that.
It's just an awkward pause, and your manager went, no.
The league is your bread and butter, which he is correct. If we're doing an honourable mention for Richie Winter, I will give it to, I'm going to have to give it to, it's going to be really bad, but Rovers?
Go.
I don't know if you saw, I don't know if I sent you the picture, but I went to drop my bag in their lovely swanky media room, and I was greeted with boxes of bottles of champagne before a ball had been kicked. So look, obviously you have to prepare and that, but still,
like, they are going to win it. You've temporarily stopped them from becoming the champions. They are most definitely going to win it, so like, I don't like taking too much joy in pissing on the parade, but like, leaving the bottle of the champers out,
yeah, leaving it out. I just walked through and I was like, what's in that box? I was like, ah, their champagne.
There was a feeling though in Talat on Friday that it was done. Like,
those people have never been nicer to us before that ball was kicked.
It's true.
They were so nice, so comedy. How are you, lads? How are you? Here you go. Here's your seat. Enjoy the game. Let's see you after the game. Final whistle. Get off the pitch.
Yeah. But look, deserve a champions, there's no doubt about it, but it was nice to just kind of let the air out of the balloon on them, which I've got a lot of time for. My Richie Baker, Ben, it's going to be Milan and Bang, purely because those sad acts booed him every time he got the ball tonight.
Yeah, and
every time there was a challenge put in on him, the two comms again, never a foul, that's never a foul. And there was one where he's blatantly pushing the back, like, it's two hands straight in the back, and it was, oh, he's gone down very easily. Like, they're like a hurt ex-girlfriend. They really are.
Funny enough, one of my Richie Baker is, I don't know who it was, I saw it on Twitter, someone made a poster of Milan in a rat trap. I'm like, lads, you could get relegated in this game, and that is what you're thinking of.
This is the stuff I can't understand.
Like, go support your team.
Yeah.
Like, they actually spent more energy booing a former player than they did cheering on their own team.
It's very, very strange. I
will say that gave me a great laugh after the game, because I didn't see it until after. And it was like, time to get our revenge. How did that work out?
Enjoy that. The supporters, they're the fucking weirdest bunch in the world, aren't they, Ben? They really are.
So I think that's where I'll go.
So you're going the lad who made the Rat Trap poster?
Yeah, just because it's funny. Mitchell made me laugh. Like, it's not a good thing to do. He just made me laugh how miserable he is.
Yeah, Milan's also an amazing player. So, I mean, there's also that element of it as well.
He was always going to be good when they had that reaction. Cork are great for a reaction like that.
They are. It's that real village mentality. But look, where's that got them, Ben? Back to the first division. Back to the first division with you, where you belong, and I hope they never get promoted again. Right, we're well there, Ben. We're well there. Yeah, something different tonight. Obviously, no question box or anything like that, because just, we said we'd hop on tonight and do something a bit different while opportunity allowed. So, yeah, I've enjoyed going, I have to say.
Dude, I will give another honourable mention for Richie Baker to yourself, because I really enjoyed your... I think I'm going to pull back the curtain a bit here. When I got the invitation for the recording here, I believe the title is Relegators.
Yeah, it is actually, yeah.
And that made me laugh a lot when I got that. So that's always a good one. And of course, the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, fuck off. Jesus Christ, almighty. Just don't.
I always have to annoy you somehow.
This is not the right time or the right audience, but Jesus Christ, I can't do it. Can't do much more of it. I really can't.
Yeah, but it's grand because the Reds are firing, so that's all that matters.
The Reds are most definitely firing. We're obviously home to Sligo on Friday, 7:45, Talca. It's a cup final. It's huge. It's massive. You could potentially... Let me see this league table. Riveting podcasting here as usual, but... If we were to win 2-55, you could go 5 points clear of Bowes. Now, they'd obviously have a game in hand, but that could be a huge step. Who are Drogs and Pats playing? Drogheda, home to Cork. Easy 3 points. And
I don't know how that game will go when neither team want the ball.
True, yeah. Just sits in the fucking centre circle the whole time. And your Pats are entertaining Rovers, of course. Rovers with needing a point to win the league.
Oh, that'd be funny to see that happen.
Yeah. But ultimately, Ben, who cares? The Reds done the business. Massive 3 points.
Two big results. Like, you look at people like Jack Henry France, as I said, a lot of praise goes towards him because as he's come in, it's great energy, intensity, integrity, intelligence, the three eyes, had them in spades. I think he's a big one for me in this run of games. Like, I think he's going to play a massive, massive role.
With that, Ben, I will not argue. We're out of time. We're done. We're finished. Thank you very much for being up so late. My bed is calling me.
As is mine. Well, no, yeah, my bed is calming, not yours.
Yeah. Ooh, easy now. Easy now. Thank you, Ben. See you on Friday.
Up there, Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.